Racial and economic inequality are issues that have been raised frequently by political candidates, more often than not on the progressive side of the aisle. That inequality was the centerpiece of Bernie Sanders' campaign for the Democratic presidential nomination in 2016, and more candidates and potential candidates have put it at the top of their priority list for 2020. Derek Hamilton, executive director of the Kirwan Institute for the Study of Race and Ethnicity at Ohio State University, has met with several of those candidates. He's with me to discuss some of what they talked about. So, Professor, what are some of the more basic and bigger picture issues related to racial inequality that you'd like to see addressed by elected officials?
Well, I've been mostly focused on the bigger ideas. I think part of the issue is we've been dealing with Band-Aids, and as a result, we might get some improvements on the margins, but the structure still remains, and the dramatic inequality by structure still remains. So, I think we are at the moment in our political history of something bigger and bolder, because the long trend towards inequality has been going on for at least 40 years. And, you know, we can even go beyond race. I think when we look at race, we see how dramatic inequality is. I mean, we find instances where black people who acquire high levels of education in many domains have worse outcomes than white individuals that have low levels of education. Like it, for instance, if we look at wealth. If you are a head of household and black and you graduated from college, your net wealth position is lower than that on average or at the median compared to a white family with a head dropped out of high school. And this is not to say that whites aren't suffering in our economy as well. In fact, over the last 40 years, basically all of the economic productivity gains that have taken place in America have gone to the elite, while real worker wages have remained roughly flat. And that's why wedge issues like race can come about, and you can have candidates that can run on a message of, dare I say, making America great again, which is really an overture back to a historic past when we had certain demographics were at their epitome, where other groups were not on the same level with regards to status. So that a message like that becomes more salient the more unequal we become for so long.
What signs are you seeing from these candidates or potential candidates for the White House, for example, that they really are taking these issues incredibly seriously? Because a cynic might say, well, there are certain folks, African-Americans and others, that the Democratic Party has relied on for a long time, and you want to make sure that the votes are there. Is there a feeling that there is a real commitment to getting hands dirty on these really difficult issues?
Steve, I wouldn't call that characterization cynical at all. I think it is, frankly, empirical. It has been the case that the black vote has been taken for granted too much for too long. In terms of signs, if we look at policies that are being proposed, I mean, we're hearing proposals around a baby bonds type idea from Senator Booker, for example, Elizabeth Warren and her wealth tax. Senator Sanders has obviously been at the vanguard of proposing some bold policies, but, you know, it's becoming the norm within the Democratic Party to go bolder. Of course, I haven't named everyone. We can even look at Kamala Harris, her proposal to use the tax code not only to give back resources to those that are at the high end, but think about providing income across the distribution of Americans so that those at the low end still get a portion, get a subsidy from the tax code in order to have agency and dignity in their lives. So these policies, some have more racial overtones than others, but we're seeing a much bolder proposal or set of proposals that are coming from the progressive wing of the Democratic Party.
There's a lot of concern that over the past couple of years in particular, there's been an increase in at least obvious racial animus. I wonder if you wouldn't mind addressing that generally and how politicians can help change that, since in some sense, a certain politician is getting a lot of the blame for this. So can we then feel that people who believe a different way can actually stem the tide and turn it around a little bit?
The sad reality is that a lot of our problems are more political than they are economic. The solutions to address stagnation, inequality, there are many that are out there, but there have been political obstacles in implementing them. And I think that race is used as a tool to allow for that consolidation of political and economic power. I think historically being able to tell a group of people, a dominant group of people, that however unequal you are and whatever despair you're feeling in your life, a message of I will solidify you at least relative to this other group becomes salient to those individuals. In other words, people are concerned with both their vertical position in society, but also their horizontal position in society. So race is used as a tool to solidify one group's horizontal positioning, particularly when we have dramatic vertical inequality. So if we are to ever become transformative, I think we need to switch to an economic rights frame where the message of telling somebody that this race is out to get you or this race is going to change your way of life, that has less salience when we have a more inclusive society that assures economic rights for everyone.
Professor Hamilton, finally, are you hoping, are you planning to talk with the candidates more as the months go by?
Oh, yeah. I very much hope that they engage me. I mean, I feel privileged. I'm grateful. I really do want to translate my research into ideas because ultimately that's what I'm committed to, improving people's lives and grounding it with research.
Derek Hamilton is executive director of the Kirwan Institute for the Study of Race and Ethnicity at Ohio State University.